They're just two parents who happen to be dads. One called Harley, the other one is Wads. It's not really Wads, it's Wade! But Wade doesn't rhyme with dads. It's shitting with the door open.
You'll never know.
We're in the same room.
We're in the same room.
I'm going to come up and touch you right now because
oh
I can.
Oh, my God.
We're touching.
Got
just
an erection. Oh, man, I'm beside myself with excitement. I'm technically here for work, which is so funny.
What a tenuous...
Absolutely tenuous link to me just coming a day early. Let's just keep in mind I have a six-week-old baby plus another three. And I'm like, I better fly a day early.
To do this podcast.
This is important work.
Well, we're going to do another episode after this. That's two podcasts.
We will do two podcasts. That's almost a whole month's worth of work.
And as usual, we've come in not prepared in the slightest.
Nope.
We didn't think like, oh, Harley's coming down. Let's build up a cracker episode. Let's see what happens.
Well, what is it? It's 20 past two in the afternoon and I'm on to my third beer. So I have prepared. And even when you said, well, let's not record in this room because it might be a bit echoey, just even me moving into another room seemed like too hard.
That was too much work.
Just turn the mics on, Wade.
Let's just get it done. Right, let's just get this out of the way.
Yes.
So we can start hanging out.
But it's bloody good to be here. I somehow have left Queensland in a hoodie and arrived in Melbourne and it's 30 degrees. But it's a dry heat, mate. It's a dry heat,
oh, it's
Melbourne.
A dry
like,
heat.
It's a dry heat
dry.
Here.
But you go to Perth, oh, it's a dry heat.
Oh, it's a dry heat over there,
isn't it?
Yeah,
over there,
yeah,
mate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't mind it's a dry heat.
Oh, why don't you write in and tell us about the heat where you live?
Yeah. I'm in my 40s. I actually really care about the weather.
Genuinely uninterested.
Oh, mate, it's one of my main apps is the bomb. I'm on it all the time.
I'm on the UV index as well.
Oh, oh, yes.
Oh, what's that? Oh, we're getting into purple. Inside, kids. Get inside.
We had a UV index just yesterday of 11 in Ooh. Queensland. That is, what do they call it? I think they called it catastrophic.
I'm going to look up the UV index right now because this is just
fucking
good
hell. This is why you guys tune in to Australia's premier number one podcast.
We're in high at the moment. We're
high.
In high. It's not too bad.
And what does it go up
7.0. So extreme mine goes up to.
So maybe it's just extreme. So Queensland has been in extreme for the last week, although quite lovely temperate weather, but the UV index, very extreme. It's fucking extreme up there.
It is very hot. It's extreme.
I've just loved just wandering around the streets of Brunswick and seeing anyone other than white people. It's been amazing.
Don't tell everybody where I live.
We're not at your house. We're literally not. And we're in Coburg.
How good is this suburb? So... that was great.
That was good. I think if we can all just be really honest, that was great.
That was great content. The batteries died because I was not prepared in the slightest.
And you're welcome.
And so we had to take a little pause.
I've had another beer.
It's been 30 seconds max.
Yeah,
this one is for us. It's not for you.
No.
It's not for you listening. We're just going to make ourselves laugh and you can either fuck off.
Or
no, please leave it running. Actually, I need those numbers.
Yeah, please leave it running.
Just turn it on
and
silent.
Tell your friends, even your friends who may not want to listen. Just tell them. Just tell everybody.
We got a message the other day from someone recommended this podcast, but they stopped listening at Uber Full Dicks. That was so funny. I was like, yeah, I stopped paying attention at Uber Full Dicks.
Yeah, mate. What a great time, though, that was when we were just coming up with that great business idea. But it's it's good. I'm only holding a microphone in my hand to justify my early arrival. But it's nice after however many months. What are we in? November.
And you left in July?
I must have left in July, the end of July.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or August. No, August 4th.
August 4th.
I left on August 4th. So been a long time. Longest time since 2003 that I've been outside of Victoria.
That's a long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And up in Beachmere.
Yeah, in Beachmere. I mean, have I already said that on the podcast? Because I know you said you didn't want people to know where you live.
Harley lives in Beachmere.
Well, listen, Beachmere only has 4,000 people. So it's harder to find you in Brunswick than it is. Like, I stand out like dog's balls. I did this the other day. I was walking with my kids, right? And they were just being children, and I was just being a frustrated non-present father is exactly what was happening. It was not their fault, but I was getting really frustrated with them, and I was just trying to get home, and there was tit for tat crap going on at one point.
Oh, tit for tat.
Just stop it.
But also, like, how children is it? Like, the other day, they were like, the two were like, we're all wrestling around, blah, 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 having a good time. And then one of them, the older one, just gets super close to the younger one. Like, so close. And the younger one's like, can you just move away? And she's like, yeah, but I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. I'm like, are you kidding me?
God.
Is this a movie? Is this my childhood? Because that's exactly
so
what...
It's so irritating.
I did it as a kid.
Yes.
My parents probably did it as a kid. It's just the worst. Yes. I'm not touching you. And I was like, mate.
Ah, fucking hell.
You know what you're doing. I know what you're doing. Everybody knows what you're doing. It's a cliche.
Just stop what you're doing.
Stop being a fucking cliche.
Yeah. So what I said is actually I grabbed the oldest one. And because I was trying to get them, there was a lot of things going on, right? And we were drawing attention because of the chaos that was happening with them. And I just grabbed the oldest one and I said, listen, people sometimes recognize me and I just want to go home without people looking over and going, oh, that's that bloke. He's a shit dad. And it really resonated with him. And I know that comes off as super wanky, but there has been multiple times because I'm on Brisbane Triple M and I didn't realise because I've been doing it here for 2 years down in Melbourne.
Yep.
And now I've just been going down the line for 2 years. I've been doing
it. Of course.
Just once a week for 2 years. And now I'm up there and I am definitely living in Triple M country. Like it is, like I walked into the local tool shop. They're like, hey. There's a Harley Breen on fucking Triple M. I'm like, yes, that's yes,
that's
correct.
Me.
Right, so, which is lovely, but also I don't, even in those little micro, because it never really happens to me, but in those little micro moments of people going, oh, I think I've kind of know you, I don't want them to be going, I think I know that guy that his six-year-old is screaming, the 13-year-old's poking it with a stick, the three-year-old's just wandering across the road without anyone looking up. You know what I mean? Like, can I just be fucking not seen in this moment?
Oh, man, so funny, because that's the... There is something to the thing, you know, because Claire's like, you know, she can be like a little bit recognizable as well.
I remember this. There's a good story. Sorry. There was a great story and it was well before I would ever get recognized. You guys were living in Sydney and you picked me up from a gig and you and I had both been on the lash. Claire, fucking like an absolute saint. Was completely sober and we were like, we're gonna get kebabs. So she's like, well, we'll go and get kebabs. And we pulled up to a kebab shop just near your house. And she then also, not only did she pull up to the kebab shop, she went to get us kebabs, which is amazing, right? What a fucking amazing woman.
I can't believe she stuck with me.
Yeah, yeah. And then just a moment later, she just came back to the car. I stayed with the car because I think we're in, you know, maybe a no standing zone or something like that. And I stayed with the car because I'm a saint as well. And I said, what's going on? And she goes, oh, I just had to leave Wado there because a whole group of footy guys came in and recognized me. And I went, oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
That's, you can't even buy a kebab.
Especially at like late
She didn't
night.
Even want the kebab.
It wasn't even for her.
It was just for us. But because, and then they possibly weren't overly aggressive, but she was just in self-preservation mode and just went, I'm just going to take myself out of that scenario.
And a group of like drunken people, drunken dudes, especially loud and boisterous. Yeah. Like, ah, blah, 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 blah. Let's get a photo, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Intense.
And the first thing I thought was, you've left Wade there. He's going to fuck my order up.
Just give me two of what I want. That's what I want. That's all it is. Extra garlic sauce, extra chili. Hold
Actually,
the lettuce.
You got it right.
Yeah.
How dare I say you're going to fuck up my food order?
Give me some cheese, some hummus, extra tabbouleh.
Ooh.
Fuck, love a kebab. Best love late night snack.
Let's go get some now.
Kebabs and Chinese food, best late night drinking.
Absolutely. 100. Yeah.
Hands down.
Yeah. I'd agree with that. Yeah. I don't think that... I'm trying to think of a better... Just a packet of chips is the only thing that beats that.
I was with the girls the other night, and because Claire's away at the moment, so solo parenting. And I enjoy solo parenting.
You're not solo parenting anymore. Uncle Harley's here.
Hello, here he is. The backup. It does make it a bit harder, I'm not going to lie. also, the parenting. I couldn't get it out.
You can get it out, mate. I'll wait. it's already worth it.
Oh man. Anyway, so I'm solo parenting at the moment. And before like Claire left, I just taught the oldest how to ride a bike.
Great.
Which is a big tick for me.
That is a huge tick.
It's a huge tick.
Well
and
done.
She was so proud and I was proud of her, and like when she was doing it by herself for the first time, she's running and she was like so scared as she's riding, and I was running along beside her. I'm like, I'm so fucking proud of you. I'm so fucking proud. I'm sorry for swearing. I'm just fucking pumped. She's like, it's okay, Dad. And she crashed into a fence. But then the best bit was, like, she legitimately crashed into a fence. The best bit was she started crying. She was upset.
That is a great bit.
Yeah. But then I said to her, look, you got two options here. One, we can walk home. But what I really want you to do is get back straight on that bike and start riding again. Because if you don't do it now, you're going to be too scared to do it in like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Let's just do it and I will hold you for a little bit and then you can go by yourself. And she's like, okay.
Great.
And she did it.
Good
and she
win.
She hopped on and she just rode off. I didn't even have to hold her. Didn't have to start her off. You know, she just did it by herself and I was so proud of her.
That is a great
so
win.
So fucking proud of her. Anyway, I've been like working with them like recently over resilience. That's where this kind of story comes up.
Yes.
And I've been telling them, you just need a little bit more resilience. You need a little bit more. I've been trying to be polite about it and nice about it. But also I know for a fact in moments of frustration, I have not been.
Of course. Polite. Yeah, of course.
Or nice
because
about
it's difficult.
It.
And resilience is a really hard thing to teach. And ironically, it's because of our lack of resilience. Yeah. With what they're going through. It's a really difficult thing to communicate.
I need to learn it as well with them, with their, with all the things that they're doing. Anyway, so I said, like, I need you to, like, learn resilience. Here are a few other things that you could start fucking picking up on. And they're like, okay. And I was putting them to bed the other night. And I said to them, look, I'm always telling you, like, ways that you can improve. I forget exactly how I worded it, but this is like the fucking gist of the conversation. I said, but I just want you to know how proud I am of you. And I told them a few things that I'm proud of them. Like you do this, and this, and you're very good at this and this, and the way you're kind and considerate and you're very funny. Is there anything that you need me to work on?
Yeah.
You know, because we're in this together. We're a family.
Well,
we're
you're
a union.
An idiot.
It was good. I was like, stop.
You really threw yourself under the bus there. No, it is great. I do a similar thing. No. Sorry, continue.
That's pretty good though. And I was like, so is there anything that you need me to work on? And then the oldest one's like, no. But I could tell she wanted to say something, but she was just a bit too nervous.
Yeah.
But the youngest one straight away, and I fucking love her so much. They're both so great. She's like, you could have more of a positive attitude.
That is excellent.
I'm like, you know what? That's a fair call.
Well, see, on that, I just saw this thing recently, which I find I found really amazing. It's really simple. I've probably heard versions of this and attempted to do this as a parent in the past, but the way that the information... that I saw the information, received the information, was really simple. And it's this. If you pull your child up on something negative that they're doing, it draws their attention to that.
Yeah.
And so you're directing them to that bad behavior. And they're getting the attention for that.
Yeah.
But if you make a conscious effort on... and that's not to say to allow bad behaviour, by the way.
Yeah.
There needs to be boundaries. Bad behaviour needs to be checked. All that sort of stuff. But if you change and shift your focus to only talking about the good things that they do and lumping praise on a great thing that they've done, and this is sort of to your youngest child's point, and just be positive and have a positive outlook, well, all of a sudden, that's the thing that they're gravitated yes. towards and directed towards. And it's kind of been a sticking point for me in my life. I have for ages, and now even on stage doing material about what I think is quite a toxic idea of manifesting. Right, yep. You know that idea of manifesting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like that kind of like you kind of wish for it.
And yeah, you wish it for it. Yeah, you know, the secret and manifesting your life and all of that. And the reason that I find it toxic is it's very often from already affluent, privileged people talking about manifesting the things that you want. You're like, well, it's very good for you in that position of privilege to be able to say that. And one of the little quips I do on stage is, you've just got to manifest it. Just get your dad's credit card and manifest it. You can have whatever you want, right? However, it just dawned on me in a conversation I was having with the great Randy B.
Great man.
About the power of positivity and the power that that can create change in your life in this simplest form is how much I love a motor in. Fuck, I love a motor in.
Wait, are you talking about like a motel?
Yes.
Ah,
the love best. It. I love it. And every time, I just recently finished a little regional tour with the great Bron Lewis, one of our favourite episodes. Go back and have
Please,
a listen.
It's on the Patreon. Get yourselves back there.
But I was really pumped up. We drove into the Western Downs region of Queensland. And we were staying in motor inns, and I was saying that, and I was like, I fucking love a motor inn. But actually, it dawned on me, motor inns are shit. They're shit. They always smell like shit. They're often don't have great facilities. And why do I love a motor inn? Because for some reason, years and years ago, and the years of regional Australian touring that I've done, I just said I love motor inns. And now all of a sudden, I have this really positive reaction when I arrive at a motor inn. And so do my kids, because I've literally just endowed that positivity onto them. And so we're enjoying, I genuinely mean this, I enjoy a motor inn over any 5-star hotel I've ever stayed in. Because they're fucking great.
But I also I like a motor inn, I like that kind of roadside motel. Yeah. And I think it's because, as a kid, if you ever got to stay with one, which was, very rarely.
Yeah, yeah.
It was that was like a 5-star hotel.
Mm.
This is a fucking treat.
Mate, it was fancy pants.
It was super. It was
you can park at the front door. It's fucking amazing.
Yeah, it was there's a TV in this room.
And there's another one above the bed.
Can we watch it? No, okay, no, that's
oh my God, what are those stains on the pillow?
is that tomato sauce?
But the point being, it's around that idea of being positive about a thing. Because... arguably, motor inns aren't great, and quite often they're right beside a highway, and it's loud, and there's all sorts of different reasons. They're just there as a real necessary thing for mostly travelling workers.
Yep.
But because I've just gone, fuck, I love motor inn, I'm now enjoying motor inns all the time. And actually, now I'm sort of reviewing my negative, the negative attitude towards the manifesting idea. And I still think there's a toxic privilege side to it.
Look, it's very silly, but if you take away the manifesting bit, because I almost think they're two different things. I want a fucking to go on holiday or whatever.
Yeah,
it is, and you make that happen.
Yeah,
Then something will happen. I don't think that's it. It's more having a positive attitude to, just changing your outlook.
Correct.
On life.
Correct.
It's just changing your outlook.
Yes.
It's not I have to stay home and look after the girls while Claire's away.
Yeah.
I get to.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
And I get to do this.
I get to do this. I get to stay home, and not too many people, this is a very lucky position to be able to stay home while my partner's away and fucking have that one-on-one time with them and parent them and fucking enjoy their company and have a good time. And I genuinely, I love, don't get me wrong, it's better when Claire's here, but I genuinely enjoy.
Yeah.
But it's better when Claire's here because Claire's here. Not because of the parenting.
No.
Know what I mean?
Well, we've talked about this before. Solo parenting, while it's the hardest type of parenting, there's an ease to it because there's no committee meeting.
Yeah, it's just...
this is it.
Yeah.
My way or the highway, I'm going to do it.
The rules when I'm here by myself to the rules when Claire's here, they are slightly different because they're my rules and it's just a bit...
Yeah.
And I just, you know, it's good. I know Claire listens. I love you, babes.
He means it. I saw it in his eyes.
And in his pants.
And he was my first wife.
But I get to like look after. I get to teach them to ride a bike. I
absolutely.
Get to fucking hang out with them and stuff. And it's just changing that attitude. And I've got to change that attitude to a lot of stuff in my life.
And it's but that's a difficult thing, mate. Like, for instance, I'm going through exactly the same thing in terms of trying to change my attitude. And recently I have lost quite a lot of big jobs. I've been up for quite a lot of big jobs.
Yeah.
And in the space of about a week...
No one's making any jokes there. No one's going to laugh. We're very mature. Harley said, big jobs. And we're just going to let it go.
And I lost it. I lost my big job.
Very big job. Oh, it's good to be in the same room.
You know, when we're in the same room, there's such a nuance to our intellectual comedy. Anyway, I lost some potential paydays that...
you didn't say big jobs.
No, I didn't. I am trying to push on.
All right, we're going. All right, potential paydays.
But I got into a stink, right? I think I've mentioned it in one of our previous episodes, either for Patreon or the main one. And like, it has been a hard... It's been a heavy hit to not got the things because they were a part of the plan. Of what I'm trying to achieve in where we're headed. However, I get to stay at home. I get to get my kids to school. And I literally had this conversation just a few days ago with a mum at playgroup. I go, when I can, I go to playgroup on Wednesdays with Marigold.
Yep.
And while things financially for us are pretty difficult and I didn't get these jobs that I thought I was going to get or I wanted to get or whatever, I get to go to playgroup. I get to sit and make bread with my four-year-old at playgroup. I get to pick the boys up from school and then we go down to the beach. And I get to, after the little kids are all asleep, Leonard and I have started this new, quite recent ritual where we go for a walk. And we go down to the beach and we take Peanut, the
Chef's
dog,
kiss.
And
that's so
and,
great.
And so I could stay in the stink of I didn't get this and I didn't do this, but somehow I'm still managing to feed my family, I'm still managing to keep the lights on, and I'm getting to engage with my kids. And there was a period of about a month there where I regretted moving, where I was in a stink, I lost these jobs, I didn't get it, and I'm like, hold on, you're missing what's happening as a result of not getting those things.
Yeah.
You're actually able to engage with your kids, and you know, hopefully one day soon I do get a job that's a little bit takes a little bit more out of me, I've have to leave them a little bit more, and I'll miss that stuff. So enjoy it now,
yes.
While you get the opportunity,
while you can sit there and do it, because that is what they will remember.
Yes,
when they're older, they will remember like that you were there, that you're making the bread, that you're doing these things, and they'll remember like when you went away to work as well, and not in a bad way.
No,
not in a bad way at all. They'll be like, yeah, that's. Dad had to go away for work sometimes and sometimes at
That's
home.
Right.
And when he's at home, he was fun.
He was engaged.
He was engaged.
He was present and all of that. And that's not to say that I don't have my frustrations and I'm not, you know, the fuse isn't short and things like that. But just I'm doing better with just trying to enjoy it.
Claire is away. She's away. But when she is here, she is so engaged with the kids.
Yeah.
Like she's just on.
Great.
And like she's such a great parent. And she's like, all right, I'm going to do this with them. I'm going to do that with them. I'm going to take them here. I'm like, oh, that's a lot. Like, oh, geez. Fucking hell.
You did more in a day than I've done in a month.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm like, no, you just take them to the library. That's heaps, mate.
Yeah.
But she, and that they will remember that 100%. They will remember that I was here for them for some of the stuff, but they'll remember the core memories of Claire, like, taking them to the theatre.
Yeah.
They'll remember her taking them to fucking see these plays. Yeah. They'll remember her taking them to these beautiful adventures.
Yes.
You know what I mean? They will be like, yeah, Mum, she was away for work and she did this great stuff with us when she could. She really made time for us.
Yeah.
So, and she would make us these Halloween costumes, which she does. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's good. Yeah, it's just that positive attitude. And to bring it to other aspects of life, not just the kids, to this kind of creative thing that I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll sit at the laptop and I'm like, fuck, why do I have to do this?
And that's, you get to.
I get to.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Not many people on this planet get to do,
yeah,
have that time, like that 4 or 5 hours a day that I've got at the moment to sit down and try and create. And I have started lately in the last month or so, like looking at it like it's a chore rather than like, what a fucking privilege.
Yes.
What an absolute, what a fucking absolute privilege I have in this world to be able to sit down and just try and create beautiful stories.
Well, I did exactly the same thing last week, mate. Like, as you know, where I live, it just doesn't have a lot of places where I can go and sit. And I always write out in an environment. That's just where I've learnt to write, and that's how I do it. And the best place for doing that near my house is the local pub, and there's only one, and that's it. And it's not my kind of pub. It's not my style. Whatever the fuck that means. It's got beer, for God's sakes. But
no, but I know what you mean.
But it's not as, like, okay, I won't actually be overly negative. I'll spell it out for why. The horses are on, the Keno screen's on, the types of conversations that are happening and not the kind of conversations I want to be a part of.
A pub. You know what I mean? Some, like, it's like anywhere. Like, some is going to have like a vibe more suited to you than other places.
Yeah. And I was saying it to Hannah because I can't work at home. A house, for starters, isn't even big enough. And if I have the idea of being interrupted, I can't create. So I just can't do it at home. I've got to go there. And, I was all like, yeah, fucking got to go to the pub. But it actually dawned on me, I'm like, I get to go to the pub in the middle of the day to work. Like, what the fuck am I bitching about?
Sometimes I catch myself.
What the hell?
I fucking catch myself. I'll be like, oh, fuck, I've got to sit down here. I've got to try and write this. And then I've got to go to the shop and fucking get this stuff to make a butter chicken. I'm like, what the hell? I'm like, what the fuck?
And you love cooking.
I love cooking.
And you love your kids.
And I love the kids and I love writing. I'm like, what am I angry at here?
Yeah, totally.
Like, which part of my life is not good?
And I think it's we've tricked ourselves into that and it becomes an addictive thing.
Yes.
To be negative. It's addictive. And likewise, positivity can become addictive. And also, there is a danger of being toxically positive.
Yes.
Because some things are hard and some things are sad and some things are a challenge and it's okay to acknowledge those things.
100%.
So I'm not saying that everything... No, but it's good. I'm tickety-boo.
Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
This is hard and shit.
Yeah.
However, when it's good and it's lovely...
And when it's your day-to-day...
Yeah.
And if your day-to-day is not a fucking struggle, it's actually like a pretty good day-to-day...
Yeah.
Then approaching it with that positive mindset and changing the way that we think.
Yes, correct.
And approaching everything in that like more positive way, how can that not be better for our lives and our mental health and everything else around
us? Yes, absolutely.
Oh.
Fuck.
Whoa, Jesus. We're so wise.
God, we're wise.
And with big jobs.
I don't have a big job. I want a big job. If anyone's got a big job that they want to give to me, I will take it with 100% consent. This will be enthusiastic. Give me your big job. Well, it has been an absolute pleasure.
You know what's great about that is I just went to the toilet and we came back and we're like, I reckon that's enough. Let's get on the Bears.
Yeah, and also, you have some editing to do because I was having a very private conversation and didn't realise you were still recording.
I am absolutely leaving that entire thing in. And I'm sure Harley's going to get some emails.
I just realised, like, for everyone, you already know that this guy is my best mate. But the blind faith I have in him protecting some of the hectic shit that I say. This man could unend me. Unend me? End me.
Oh, I would end him. You would.
Oh, it looks like I've got a big job.
Time to finish Harley. Here comes the big finale.
Daddy's home. Anyway, it's been an absolute joy. I'm so glad that I left my four children and my lovely wife to come down a day earlier for work to do this very important job.
But I think if you can take anything away from this episode, like that kind of idea of trying to change where possible and appropriate your positive mindset,
mm-hmm.
just do it if you can.
Yeah.
It's not easy for everybody and it's not appropriate for every situation.
No, it's not.
But where it is appropriate, please do it.
And look, there's hard shit out there. The world is a really fucking nasty place
Jesus
at the
Christ,
moment.
You turn on the news at the moment, and I'm not going to address any particular situation because we all know the
everything.
Situation.
It's pretty
the situations.
Rough. Yeah.
And that's the ones that are like headline news. You look around and it's genuinely fucked at the moment. So just take joy where you can.
That's a
find
a
the
really,
love where you can find it.
That's a great mantra to have, Wade. Yeah. And I will do that.
For instance, we don't have to record a Patreon about penises after this. We get to record a Patreon about
and
penises after
those
this.
Those who have paid for it get to listen to it.
They don't have to listen.
They definitely don't have to.
Nobody had to submit questions. They get to submit questions.
This may not surprise any of the people who have chosen at this point to not be part of Patreon. But the questions are thick and fast. There's a real girth to the question.
There's a real width, real wide. Not a lot of depth, but they're very wide questions.
But you know what? I'm genuinely, we're such fucking idiots and we just constantly drop in stupid dick jokes, right? But actually, I think this episode is going to be really interesting because we're going to actually just talk about penises.
We're just going to talk about penises. And it will be... Trying to be serious. But we are. We're going to talk about penises without the dick jokes.
Will we?
Just on a side note, I'm calling this episode Horny for Positive Attitudes.
Horny for positivity.
Horny for positivity. Because whenever I call an episode horny for something, the fucking numbers spike.
Does it?
And that's on you, the listener.
That's on you guys.
That's on you. That's not on me. I've tried to name them like normal things.
Do you know what, dear listener? I'm horny for you.
Horny for listeners.
That's a real kink. fuck, I missed you, man.
I missed you, buddy. Love you, mate.
Love you.
Dads.